Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Fresh here on 1250 AM, The Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer, along with Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambo Leap, and of course, inventor of the Game Day Brats. Just go to GameDayBrats.com to order yours now before they hit the stores. Coming up on today's show, I got a good one for you. Ben Fennell from the NFL Network, always has all of his fun stuff up on Twitter, breaking down Packers film for you. Follow him on Twitter, at @BenFennell_NFL. He joins us at 2:45 like he does every Thursday. Then Greg Cosell, senior producer at NFL Films, executive producer and analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN, and does a podcast with our guy Ross Tucker as well. He'll join us coming up at 3:30. Ian Harditz, Fantasy Football Thursday with Ian Hardis from Pro Football Focus. All you have to do is tweet us your questions that you may have for Ian Hardis between now and 4 to 4:30 and use the hashtag BigFantasy. Just tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan, at 1250 AM The Fan. Use the hashtag BigFantasy. We'll ask your questions at that point, or you can just do it the old school way and dial it up. And then at 5:30, Mike Clemens, our embedded green and gold reporter, will join us as he does each and every Thursday. So that is the full slated show. We start off today. If the Packers were to make a deal, if that were to be a thing, would you rather have J.J. Watt or a receiver to come to Green Bay? J.J. Watt, or would you like a receiver? And some of the receivers that are out there, obviously, that they're talking about being available, Antonio Brown. We heard the rumblings yesterday about the Seattle Seahawks, amongst others, are interested in Antonio Brown. That wouldn't cost you draft pick compensation or anything of the sort. Some of the other names that have been floated out there, obviously, Kenny Stills' name is out there from the Texans. Will Fuller's name is out there from the Texans. Golden Tate's name is out there from the New York Giants. Some rumblings. I'm not quite sure how much I believe them. Julio Jones apparently might be a possibility. Again, I'm not sure I believe it, but I guess we'll see if it actually does happen. And the trade deadline's coming up on November 3rd, 3 o'clock Central, November 3rd. So just a couple of weeks away, and the trade deadline will be gone. And based on the fact that, you know, we see the trade today with the Vikings and the Ravens happen, I got a feeling, and maybe I'm wrong, Leroy, I think this trade deadline is probably going to be maybe the most active trade deadline we've seen amongst teams this year.
With the expansion, it's hard to tell because I think everybody who wants a guy that is available, they can get him. But if you're talking about prying away another guy from another team, it would seem like it depends on the team. What's the direction of the team going? Just like the Vikings made a trade for a young man that they thought was going to come in and help them win the division, maybe get, you know, back into the playoffs. But, you know, they're just, you know, again, you know, if you look at it, the Texans who you're playing, I think it's a relevant question. It's one I posed to our sister station down in Houston about J.J. Watt. But again, if you look, it's a lot of these GMs are going to get very active this week, mainly, and maybe the beginning of the next week. And even after that, because some teams may just start releasing guys for whatever reason to make roster moves. But the Packers have roster space to pick up a few guys, and it wouldn't really cost them a whole lot. But when you're talking about a receiver or impactful guy that's making a lot of money in an expiring contract, sometimes we don't even bring that up. You normally use it for NBA, baseball, and other sports, but not so much for the NFL. That may be attractive to a guy, to a team, to say, I can pay this guy for the next, you know, 2 months to try to get into the Super Bowl. And then after that, I can make a decision if I want to bring him back or not. But when you're talking about comparing a three-time MVP, defensive MVP, J.J. Watt, I mean, that is laughable that anybody would say they want a receiver over a guy. The reason why you're not have more Super Bowls is because your defense have let you down so many times. They've moved the ball. Whether you wanted them to get a receiver or not, Steve, and Gary, I mean, the numbers don't really prove that because they were number one in the league in scoring. Well, by hook or crook, it got done. But the problem has been you could not stop Rasheem Mostert, whatever his name was, for San Francisco. One of my favorite DJs, by the way, at the Bay Area, DJ Mustard. So that's your problem. So if you can put a guy like that with Kenny Clark, and then it don't really matter who you got at middle linebacker, so this guy take up 16 blocks, and he ain't but 11 people to be on the field. He's a total impactful player. Not only that, but as a leader, on and off the field, not to mention his family probably be very happy, but he will also go, Steve, from paying no state taxes in Texas to go up to state tax in Wisconsin. But hey, listen, he's not 50 cents. He'll pay his fair share. I'm sure he will. Most guys do. That's why you had a jock tax. But let's get back to some reality. It is a few of those receivers I like on that particular list. But if I'm the Green Bay Packers, you tried to get Khalil Mack at one point. I mean, it's duly noted. They really tried to get him. And it just didn't work out. You know, Las Vegas wanted to deal with the Bears, fine. But, you know, it probably would have been a better idea to try to do this deal 3 weeks ago when they had O'Brien still as the GM, when he was just getting rid of talent. But that's neither, you know, you can't do anything to do about that now. But if you want to improve your team, but now he will make a lot of money, okay? And you will, it'll cost you maybe a couple first-round draft picks in the future.
Oh, let me just throw this at you. Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, we've had on before, has a whole piece today on different trade proposals and then talks to beat writers from those teams to get their opinions of whether or not they think their teams would do the trade proposals. Packers acquire defensive end J.J. Watt and wide receiver Will Fuller from the Texans for a 2021 second round pick, 2021 fourth round pick, and a 2021 sixth round pick.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that.
I do it all day long, yeah. Don't you?
I don't know. Yeah, I would definitely do it. I don't know if the salaries match up.
With a contract that runs through 2021, Watt carries a $17.5 million cap hit, but with no guarantees attached, Watt is the Texans' most tradable asset.
Yes, no question. Because he's gotten a bulk of his money. But if I'm Watt, though, I'm thinking about going, so if you want to send me somewhere, then I can do an extension once I get there. So if you trade me to Green Bay, you can't just let – he's not a rental.
But he gets to go. But he gets to go home in front of his family for a year and a half and play. I mean, and the Packers, they've got three picks in the fourth this year and two in the sixth. So really – I mean, they can give up even more than what they're offering here and still be fine in the draft.
Yeah, but he can always visit his family. I mean, like he can't come to Wisconsin, but he can come here. I mean, that's no big deal. But my thing is, if I was him, though, this would be my last – this is my last extension, even if it's for 2 years. Before I make that trade, I got to say – the Packers got to say, well, if I do this trade, you know he's going to want an extension. So we got to give him a two-year extension. And if I bring in a receiver – I want to make sure I extend Davante Adams before I do that. So there's a lot of stuff that Russ Ball got to get to work on if they do not. These are just reports. We don't know if this stuff is true or not. But I really think that the Green Bay Packers feel like they have a team good enough in that locker room to win the Super Bowl. We don't think that, okay? We do not think that. Whether it's true or not, they get to control that. But if you have a chance to get a player like J.J. Watt or A.J. Green, or you get a Fuller and I didn't know Fuller would even come in. He's another speed guy, but you'll get a chance to play him this week. And get Packer fans who are not familiar with him, you'll get a chance to see him this week. And when DeAndre Hopkins left, he's pretty much their go-to guy, pretty much, him and Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. But that would be a deal I definitely would do, Steve. I really don't, because, you know, we don't have to do the show again. Well, our listeners know, but for new listeners, every now and then, I say maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, we go over the draft picks who've worked out and who've not worked out. And trust me, you would trade some of those picks anyway, because some of these picks ain't really working out. So if you can trade that, and this would be, we'll put together the narrative that, okay, you're going for it. And then while Aaron Rodgers is in that uniform, you're giving him another MVP. And you're giving him a wide receiver that can run past anybody and can catch the ball. But one more thing, Steve, before I yield back. If they bring Fuller in or any wide receiver, MVS, it's a wrap. I mean, it's a wrap. I mean, he goes back to maybe special teams or maybe getting – one target a game.
Well, he'll be your number four. He'll be your number four receiver.
Yeah, he'll be on special team. I mean, four or five, Gary. I don't know. I mean, it's a wrap for him if they bring in anybody else because they think they're missing something at a receiver position, Gary.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll ask Gary the question. If the Packers were able to make a deal, would you rather have J.J. Watt or a receiver come to Green Bay? And Matt Schneidman's case, he's got both a receiver and a defensive end, both coming from the Texans for a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and essentially a sixth-round pick. And I'll read to you the Texans' side of things. Texans beat writer Aaron Reese says, at 31 years old, Watt is not quite elite, but he's still a productive player. He recorded 6 quarterback hits, including 3 sacks, and he's already batted down 3 passes. But this Texan season is a lost one, and 2021 could be a transition year. Houston's next GM rebuilds a roster that Bill O'Brien left barren while depleting draft capital. Maybe Watt wants to stick around for that and hope the Texans are ready to chase the Super Bowl in 2022, but who knows what state his body is in by then. With a contract that runs through 2021, when he carries that $17.5 million cap hit, but with no guarantees attached, Watt is the Texans' most tradable asset. They could do right by trading the franchise icon to a contender while also netting some quality draft picks. Ultimately, though, this might be a move ownership prefers the next GM making the offseason when the new regime will have a lot of leeway with the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we have a question similar to this, Steve, some weeks back? And I think Leroy and I chose the receiver.
Over the defensive player, the defensive lineman. Player. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, but we didn't have a name. We just said, what would you rather have? Now we have a name. Yeah, I'm with Leroy on this. I go with J.J. Watt. Now, we didn't know there's a Will Fuller involved. In this case, you get both in this case. So now it kind of changed the questions up a little bit. So, of course, you got to be all in on that unless you want to change the question and say, would you do this deal? And for the first time in a long time, yeah, I think it's a deal the Packers should do. Listen, the J.J. Watt deal would be equivalent to Julius Peppers just recently. I think that would be equivalent to a Julius Peppers type deal. You know, another defensive lineman, outside lineman, where you want to play him. You play him up and down all across the board. And that also helps Preston Smith. That also helps Za'Darius Smith. That helps Montrevious Adams. I mean, it just loosened up a lot of things for a lot of people, most certainly Kenny Clark. It loosened up a lot of things for a lot of people on that defensive line.
Sure does.
If your first question was just J.J. Watt or receiver, I would take J.J. Watt over the receiver all day long. I mean, it would be equivalent to what the Peppers deal did for the Green Bay Packers. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl with Peppers, but we saw the impact that Julius Peppers had. Now, I don't know how long he can play. You would think he's 31, but he's beat up a lot. But the guy still has juice. I would think he could be able to play for another 4 years easily. So I think then, and because his contract is up, Steve? When is his contract up?
After next year.
After next year. So you have to go re-sign him. You got Bakhtiari there. You got Devontae Adams. You got Corey Lindsey. So you got a bunch of jokers that you need to sign.
I'm not there on this whole signing Watson extension thing. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys, if you think physically he can do this for another 3 or 4 years, then you have higher expectations than I do. I mean, this dude has been nothing but hurt the last couple of seasons. And to sit there and say, oh, yeah, he's getting older, let's give him a few more years. I just I'm not.
But
I mean,
I think
if you want to add 1 year onto it and sign him through 2022, so he's here for 2.5 years guaranteed. Okay, fine. I'm going with one.
And that was the Peppers deal, right?
Right, but I'm not.
Essentially,
a 3 year deal is what Peppers was. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm not trying to give him another 2 or 3 on top of the year and a half he has left. Like that, well, to me, you're just setting yourself up to be spending money on a guy that's not producing.
Well, you see what he's got. I mean, you bring him in. I mean, it's going to have to be hashed out before he comes here. But you bring him in. You see what he's got. I mean, I think long term, when you look at him, I think he makes everybody better. And the pressure won't be all on J.J. Watt to be a one-man wrecking crew. And that's what it's kind of been.
How does he play next to Kenny Clark in this deal?
Well, he's on the outside. I mean, he's a defensive end.
Right, but how does that work with Kenny Clark? Does that help Kenny Clark, you would assume, to be able to get to the quarterback more?
He won't get double teams.
Well, his double teams won't be as great. Yeah, so that's how it helps him. That's how it helps him.
This is an investment. If I want to invest in something, I want to invest in something I know is going to give me a return. It may not give me the return I want. It may not give me the percentage. But it will give me an investment because he's in my locker room. He's in my state. And it just – the thing about the Reggie White deal that really did it for some of the people, because there were some young guys in that locker room, they had no idea what Reggie White – they didn't know nothing about free agency and all this stuff. They were like, what is going on here? Why is this such a big deal? When the Reggie White deal was done, the young guys said to myself, self, we're on the front line now. It ain't just San Francisco and Dallas anymore in the 90s. It's all the camera trucks was up in 1265, Steve. That's how I got popular, to be honest with you. I mean, them camera trucks show, they want to see what Reggie White, why did you choose Green Bay, man? What is going on? And it was just something that was impactful. So J.J. Watt, you know, is a Hall of Famer, but you know, it just seemed like to me, I'm not going to disrespect any of my own players and other players. If I'm not going to give you an extension, I'm not doing the deal. Because I want to treat you right. Because I'm kind of surprised that I can't wait to get phone calls on this. I'm kind of surprised. I thought Steve, you'd be all over giving him money to keep him here. We don't do rentals.
Yeah, but I don't care. But if Rodgers is gone after next year, I'm not trying to sign other old guys to be here past next year. So you
got an age limit if he was what?
Dude, he's been banged up and hurt the last couple of years. He's not 24 anymore. Leroy.
You know what they tell me, Steve, when he's been banged up? When they yell, when they get back, fresh legs.
Sure.
I mean, this guy's bicep was hanging off. You want him to still play? He had legitimate injuries.
I didn't say I want him to still play. I'm not saying that he should have played. I'm just telling you, the fact of the matter is he's been hurt. He's 31 years old. By the time we get to next year, it's 32. So that'd be his age 32 season. You want him to play to age 35 in Green Bay?
You almost cursed. Yes. He's worth that. The film I'm looking at.
Fine. I'm not saying.
I'm just saying. Isn't that the Packer way, signing guys get hurt anyway?
Yes, they do sign guys that are hurt. They draft guys that are hurt. That is the Packer way, which means your extension idea probably will play out in order to get this done to sign a guy that's hurt. But having said that, my other thought on this has to do with Aaron Rodgers. And if we believe, and you two don't, but if others believe that Aaron Rodgers last year could be next year or the year after, and then they're moving on to Jordan Love, then it really doesn't make any sense to spend a bunch of money on J.J. Watt for another 2 to 3 years after next. Then it really doesn't make any sense.
I'm creating space, Steve, by giving him an extension. I think the fans lose the fact that if he got an extension, or him or Devontae get an extension, an extension creates more space for me to do Aaron Jones. Here's a way I can do Aaron Jones right here, or buy Tiari. Because if I got $8.3 million sitting there and I need maybe $15, you know, you can make a trade. They'll get the numbers right, extend them out. I can save $4 or $5 million more. Hell, I may be able to sign both of those guys. And it's all because of J.J. White. I got them all under the same umbrella. But again, Gary, that's for Russ Ball to figure the numbers out.
Yeah.
But if there's any investment that I would make in the 30s, it'll be J.J. Watt.
And the other thing, too, is going back to Rodgers, is if you do extend him out and you have Bakhtiari's high number and his high number and Davante Adams' high number, they don't hurt you as much if Rodgers is gone and his number is off the books and you have a rookie deal in Jordan Love at that point. That's the other part of this,
well,
I guess.
Well, that brings your way down. Yes,
right.
No doubt
that,
about
then it makes it more feasible. Bob in Greendale, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
Hey, guys. I think I would rather take a receiver at this point because I think I speak for a lot of frustrated Packer fans that they're doing Rodgers the same way they did Brett Favre. MVPs, at the end of the day, they don't matter. It's Super Bowl rings. And if you don't put anything around your MVP quarterback, he's not going to get that Super Bowl ring. We're sick of seeing guys coming in at the end of their careers, like Julius Peppers, Jeff Saturdays. Those guys, they make a slight impact at the beginning, but in the end, they just get swept under the rug. Nobody cares about that anymore. Nobody cares about the Packer way, next man up stuff. I'm not surprised. Mike McCarthy, he's better off where he is now because I'm sure he got sick and tired of playing year after year. They're not bringing in any impact players. When's the last time they made a shockwave through the NFL signing a big player? The trade deadline is going to come, and it's going to go, and
well,
the Packers aren't going to do a damn thing.
Look, hold on, Bob. And I understand you're
getting Bob.
Bob hung up. Okay,
Bob,
and I understand.
Come
Bob's,
on, Bob.
I understand Bob's mad, but let's give him some. Yeah, Bob, so man. Let's give him some credit here, and maybe none
no,
of
we'll
this.
We'll give him some space
maybe,
to feel that way.
No, I'm not talking about him. What I'm saying is the Packers. Maybe none of what we hear is true. Maybe it's all fabricated crap. I have no idea, but. They did say, they being the reports, these reporters that do this for a living, did say that they were right there. Hub Barker said they were right there with the Bears for Khalil Mack. They attempted to do that, and right. He chose the Bears. So if you believe Hub Barker and others, they were trying to get a big name player. It didn't work out. Last year, they were trying, according to reports, to get Emmanuel Sanders, and that didn't work out. So it's not like Gutekunst is Ted here and literally doing nothing at the deadline. He's being active. He just seemingly can't close the deal.
Yeah. But see, Steve, let's go back. I love Harbaugh's top five name of all time. Put him to the side for a minute. Mark Murphy told us this on our show.
Yeah, he did.
That they tried to get
Khalil Mack. We didn't believe him. Well, no one believed
him. Why not?
Him. Well, because it's...
So right, it confirms it because Harbaugh, who I love, full disclosure, that confirms it? He told you. Yeah, man. He explained it. I wish we could find the footage. He explained, hey, man,
sound.
Las Vegas. What I say again?
Footage. That's
find
okay.
The,
sound.
The I'm sorry.
Sound.
Yeah, I'm still on Spectrum News.
We got, yeah, that's okay.
He said Chicago had a better pick than us, so the Raiders were like,
it.
Hey, man, I think I get a better pick. We respect that, and we'll respectfully pull out. But they made an aggressive move for him. But, Steve, your point is correct. They've tried to get guys, but it just didn't work out. I mean, for whatever reason, you got to overpay to get people. You got to be like Bill O'Brien and lose your job to get one of these deals. Because that Khalil Mack job thing, although it looks good, if they don't do something with that contract, that GM and that coach, it's a wrap for them.
I am frustrated. I am frustrated, though. Packers did not take advantage of Bill O'Brien while he was there. That was a big mistake. That DeAndre Hopkins deal to this day irritates me.
Well, he couldn't get rid of J.J. Watt, but yeah, DeAndre Hopkins, they could have been in on that.
No doubt.
He got rid of anybody at that point. Yeah. He ready to dump everything. Yeah.
No doubt. Hey, Pella Windows and Doors, Gary.
We're talking about our good friends over at Pella Windows and Doors, guys. Through the end of October, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is offering no money down, no interest, no payment for 24 months when you replace your leaky old windows and doors now, guys. Or you can choose from 2.99 APR financing for 12 years. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin installs, folks, year-round. So there's no need to wait to make your home more energy efficient. Pella now, pay later with no money down, no interest, no payments for 24 months or 12-year 2.99 APR financing to approved credit now through October 31st. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom or PellaWI.com for details. Set your free consultations today, folks, at PellaWI.com.
Friday's big show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, Leroy Butler, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist. He's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's happening.
I mean, you'll know when I get in when they don't hear me on the show no more.
I think I'm just going to get a package of your game day brats, put them in the freezer, and then I'll take them out once you make the Hall of Fame, and I'll eat them then.
Well, let me sign the packet, though. That label is amazing.
I don't need it. I don't need to sign a package. I know what? You. That's
Come
good
on,
enough.
Steve.
I don't need
Save to. It for I the kids to get into Jackson to get into college.
Nah, I'm fine. No, he's good. Don't worry about it. Who knows if he'll even go
I'll
to college.
I'll do it on my side. I'll talk to Kay directly. We'll go around.
Yeah, I'm good. I know you. That's good enough for me. This segment is sponsored by Tally's Tap and Eatery. Their Thirsty Tally's Thursday Tap. Specials include 65-cent wings, 250 tall boys, and $3 Doc McKillicuddy shots.
What is
shots.
A tall boy? What is that? What is a tall boy?
Gary, isn't that a tall boy? Isn't that a beer?
Is it
a tall, like a tall can of beer or something
well, I mean,
like that?
Oh, in
a big glass?
To get a direct or the real definition, we probably should call Tim Allen.
He would know more than you or me or Leroy.
He's probably
true.
He's been in Tally's.
No question. Yeah, 250 tall
Jennifer
boys.
Thank Jennifer for coming on for us.
Yeah, $3 Doc McKillicuddy shots. Tally's Tap and Eatery, Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Ben Fennell of NFL Network joins us coming up here at 2:45. Mike on the South Side, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show here on a Thursday.
Best part of my day right now. A po' boy is a sandwich.
No, po' boy.
Tall boy.
Oh, a tall boy.
Tall boy, yes.
Okay, you got me there. Now, I guess this question is for Leroy and Gary.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot five names to you. Reggie White, Leroy Butler, Craig Newsom, B.J. Raji, Nick Collins. In the end, I think our offense is decent. I mean, we could probably put Sparky in there and Aaron Rodgers will make him a star.
Exactly.
In the end, you need defense.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Mike is correct. You don't remember Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball through. The ball eight times? That don't aggravate y'all? We all agree with the draft now. That's why Bob was correct about that. So, Bob, we agree with you. We agree with you about the receiver. They should have got one in the draft. I get that. But, Bob, you can't tell me you was watching that. Maybe we can disagree. You was watching that San Francisco game saying, man, we sure need a receiver.
No.
I'm like, man, can we stop these people, man?
Yep. That's definitely it. Hey, some breaking news on the fan brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oil's made
from
natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Got a game swap because the flexing apparently has begun. Adam Schefter, Buccaneers and Raiders, no longer Sunday night, now Sunday afternoon with a 3:05 start. New Sunday night game now, Seahawks at Cardinals with a 7:20 start on Sunday night. Seahawks Cardinals.
That's a bond burner.
Your new Sunday night game. Hey, before we get to another quick time out here,
I like the Cardinals.
I got a question in the last segment. I said I'd ask you, do you remember where you were, Leroy Butler, when you heard that Reggie White officially signed with the Packers?
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where I was. I didn't believe it.
So where were you?
In the locker room. I thought it was fake. I still didn't believe it. You know, I'm going to tell you why. I won't say the name, but I mean, he's probably a grown man now. One of our analytics department interns showed me an article that he accepted a deal to go to San Francisco. So I'm like, man, we missed out on Big Dog. And then the same kid came back and said, I believe he's in the building. I said, how can you tell me that's what you believe? Is he here or not? I'm confused. No, I think he's here because I see all these cars like Secret Service outside. And I said, well, you know, Gary, you know, who more nosier than me, Gary?
Nobody.
Steve, I went and looked around there, and I'm telling you, I thought I saw a unicorn. I'm serious. I said, Reggie, what? This happened fast. because I had just heard reports he went to San Francisco, 4-year, $17 million deal. I heard that. And I'm thinking we lost out on him, blah, 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 because the court case had just went through about suing free agency. And getting rid of all that stuff. So I'm like, this is moving fast. How did they get him from San Francisco on a plane to come back to meet Wolf and Holmgren at the airport and get him into the building? So I thought it was fake. I really did. This was before fake news was a thing. I saw him for myself. I'm telling you, it was like seeing a unicorn. I was like, that can't be real. But he was sitting in his underwear, so I knew it was real. So he got to be getting a physical. They didn't sign. Nobody knew Steve. He had to do a physical first before it leak out, I guess, to the media. I said, this man getting a physical. So I had to go over there, me and three or four other players, and just, man, what you doing here? Thought you went to. But what happened was they structured his deal to make it fully guaranteed. I say, so that's what you mean when you say God told you to come to the Packers? He said, yep.
God guaranteed it, and Reggie said, thank you.
I looked straight up to the ceiling, Steve. I said, thank you, God. And things changed. The losing culture left my mind when I saw him, because I'm thinking no African-Americans are going to come to Green Bay. That's what they say. They say there's no big-time free agents going to come to Wisconsin. All those narratives were out there, and I'm thinking, how did Wolf and Holmgren convince him and his family, Sarah and the kids, listen, I know what y'all about to do, but you can, and Wolf talked about this, you can go anywhere and be a great player. You can come here and be a legend.
No question.
And it was true.
Yeah, no question. It's the same thing that, you know, Gary did. Had the exact same reaction when he got into his Genesis, or didn't you? Looked up at the heavens and said, thank you, Lord.
Ooh. I'm going to tell you about that car, Steve. You know I drive slow, right?
Yeah, that's true an story. Understatement. Yeah.
So I went to swerving because I'm going to talk to Gary. Swerving. Gary yelling at me to go fast. It brought me back onto the road.
Brought you back on.
Gary say, it'll do that for you.
It'll drive itself, Roy.
Right, drive too fast for Leroy.
Drive itself.
And got, yeah, and you know where I got that car from, guys. I got it at Hyundai West Dallas. My son has a car from Hyundai West Dallas. My daughter has a car from Hyundai West
and
Dallas.
Brock
Steve Sparky Pfeiffer has a car from Hyundai West Dallas. Joe Zenzola has a car from Hyundai West Dallas.
Brock has one from.
He said that already.
I can go on.
Mike McGivern has one.
On and on. Mike McGivern has a car.
Brock has one from
Hyundai West Dallas. Guys.
I'm trying, bro.
Hyundai West Dallas is the number one overall store for customer satisfaction. When you see what they're doing, folks, in their showroom and service drive, you will understand why. The staff at Hyundai West Dallas takes your safety very seriously. You will notice that they all wear masks and wipe down everything. When you bring your car into service, they put steering wheel covers on so no germs are able to be passed. Their showroom is always being cleaned. And don't worry, folks, if you forget your mask at home, they will have free ones. A lot of people charge you for masks. I know that for a fact right now. So why do I say all this, people? Well, that's easy. It's just one more reason why you need to get your car from Hyundai West Dallas. They have the lowest prices in town, the best inventory, and are the most respectful when it comes to your safety. They even have discounted prices on a 2021 Hyundai. Is that Palisade, Steve?
That's close enough.
Yes.
Yeah, the Hyundai Palisade. The best-selling SUV around. It really is. That's a beautiful car if you hadn't seen. I would just go test drive, just see what it looks like. Hyundai West Dallas is located just off of Highway 100 in West Dallas. Just a quick 15-minute ride from Waukesha, West Bend, or downtown Milwaukee. Guys, when you go in, and if you mention my name, Gary Ellison, you will get an additional $500 nice. Off on any new or used vehicle in the inventory. That's no joke. People been doing it. A couple people went in last weekend. They mentioned my name. Boom, $500 off. Hyundai West Dallas, where their ordinary needs to be extraordinary.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the G. Wagner Plumbing Studios. Don't forget, coming up tonight, the Bud Lights, the Bill Michaels Huddle, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Featuring CBS 58's Kevin Holden and Christine Otuso. That's tonight, 6 to 8, as they preview the Packers and Texans here on 1250 AM. The Fans, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler. Some of the responses that we have coming in on Twitter to this point. Area Man tweets at 1250 AM. The Fan says, love Wabba. That injury history makes it a non-deal for me. He says, doesn't even want J.J. Watt. Juan tweets in to 1250 AM. The Fan says, defense is really struggling right now. If J.J. is healthy, then I'll take him over a wide receiver right now. See if T.J. Lang can give us a few reps, too. Offensive line needs help. That is from Juan. T.J. Lang is done, as far as I know.
Yeah, he's hurt, isn't he?
Yeah, he's retired. He's done. I guess you could always reach out to him. I'll also call Jordy Nelson, too, if you're at it, and see if he wants to come back.
Hey, is Belaga hurt?
Yes, yep. I believe so, yes.
Did he miss a couple games already? Yep. So, I mean, they made the right deal there. Yep. Listen, I think Leroy was talking a little bit about this. And I'm not comparing, because I want folks to get ahead of me and start tweeting and stuff. I'm not comparing J.J. Watt to Reggie White. I'm not doing that. I think it's more of like a Julius Peppers. But here's what J.J. Watt does automatically. Leroy alluded to it. Now you have an Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, on defense. You have that kind of player, although that's older. Now, but then you have him to go along with Montrevious Adams. That will up his game. I think now you're looking at, you put him to the mix. Now you're saying you're down 10. You don't care. You think you can come back because you got a good defense. Had you gave me a name, name you give me on offense, receiver, I think J.J. Watt, not necessarily what he does on the field, it's everything that he is. Makes that defense better, but makes the team better. J.J. Watt also affects the locker room. He also affects the offense, where the OBJ or whoever you bring in, them guys really, Aaron Rodgers gets another weapon. But everything that J.J. Watt's bring to the table is more than what you're going to get if you bring a receiver in there. Yeah, Steve, you talk about his injury history. You just got to run with that. I don't even think you have to play him every down. I think you play him like you did Julius Peppers. I think you spot him. I think it's X number of snaps that he's going to play per game. And I think that gives you some longevity with his career. Right now in Houston, he's the end-all, be-all, and he always has been. Now, they had Jadeveon Clowney there for a minute, but Jadeveon never was the guy that they thought he was going to be. Here, I think J.J., you can line him next to Montrevious. Now you may be able to move Montrevious to inside backer if you want. I mean, you can do – now you're talking about, Steve, you want to go to a 4-3? You most certainly now can go to a 4-3 if you wanted to. So, to me, I think he brings more to the table than what you're going to get from said receiver.
He is Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you here on The Fan. The injury history, obviously, is going to be part of it for the fans. I mean, that just is. It's not that people don't like J.J. Watt, but we all know what the deal is here. Wayne tweets at The Fan, J.J. loves Texas too much to move here. Besides, he's injury prone, says Wayne. Greg tweets at The Fan, the only way the Packers can make good of their abysmal draft is to trade for Julio Jones. That would actually make up for all the poor decisions they have made over the last decade. And I'm telling you right now, you trade for Julio Jones, you better get ready to give up a bunch. And I don't know if they would be willing to go that far in, Leroy, to give up that type of draft capital, because it would be a bunch in order to secure Julio Jones going forward.
He's been hurt too.
Yep, that's another one. Yep.
So, I mean, everybody's going to get banged up when you get in your 30s. But, I just can't get that San Francisco game out of my head. Unless you just think you can outscore people.
Well, the Tampa Bay game is another game where we got manhandled. Scott M. tweets at 1250 AM, The Fan, neither speedy linebackers do more for this D than anything. So he'd rather find himself a stud middle linebacker and then worry about the defensive line.
That ain't the question, though. We'll do that another day.
Sure.
We can't do all these questions.
Let's go to Mike.
I want to have a linebacker.
Mike at South Milwaukee. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. It has to be J.J. Watt. He brings everything that you need to the table. He's going to make everybody around him better. He's going to show them how to be better professionals. He's going to keep the linebackers clean because he's going to be taking on double teams. I think it's just a no-brainer. If they could give up capital in the draft like that guy was saying, you know, those defensive Rainers, it's definitely defense. We don't need anything on the offense. We need defense as well.
Exactly. I mean, defense eventually going to win championships for you because that's the reason why you haven't won Super Bowls. The offense has been okay, you know, in big games, but you can't stop nobody, man. And that's where all the draft picks have been, on defense. All them draft picks, first and second round, we went through it the other day, all the first and second and third rounds, all of them been on defense, but you still had to go out and spend over $100 million in guaranteed money to bring in two linebackers and a safety to shore up the defense, and it's still bad. So the investment, and I thought that's what the fans want to do, the investment should be now. Give up some of them picks to get you a Hall of Famer for the next 2 years,
Steve,
to try to win a Super Bowl.
Leroy, here's what we don't know, and this just popped in my head.
Uh-oh.
And Leroy and Steve alluded to it too. Where are they in this transition away from Rodgers?
Correct.
Are we like, is it now? Is it win now? Or is it let's just get to a certain point and it's Jordan Love? I mean, I really don't know. I mean, that is a good question. I really don't know as an organization where, I mean, and they will always tell you it's win now. They always going to tell
sure,
you that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, they pick Jordan
the draft
Love and
didn't
they tell
show
you,
that, but yeah.
They pick Jordan Love and they tell you it's win now. You know, okay, yeah, sure, right.
Long as Aaron Rodgers is up there, it's win now.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel that way when they didn't go get a receiver. I'm just keeping it straight 100. It didn't feel that way when they didn't go get a receiver. It didn't feel that way when they didn't take the best linebacker in the draft or the best linebacker that came to them in the draft when we knew they had holes at both of those spots. They went and got Christian Kirksey, a guy that had been injured. And guess what? He's injured again. And then they look at the receivers that they have and and maybe St. Brown turns out to be something. I don't know. MVS, maybe he turns out to be something. But I'm having to think the MVS is what he is. I think that's all there is. Boom. He's. I don't even think he's better than your boy Corey Bradford, though, Leroy, because I thought Corey Bradford
right.
was pretty good.
I agree.
So
I agree.
As an organization, I think what we need to know, where are the Packers? And I don't know. Now, last year I saw this article. They were sitting at 7-1. And they said that Brian Gutekunst really wanted to make a move and just couldn't get a deal done. I just don't know. If they are at a place at winning now, yeah, I think you get a 2-for-1 deal. You go get Will Fuller and you go get J.J. Watt and let's go get them. And, yeah, you shore up both of your holes and you win now. Well, at least it gives you an opportunity. If you want to talk Super Bowl then, I'll buy it.
All right.
But right now, no,
good.
I'm not buying it.
You drew the line in the sand. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Ben Fennell of the NFL Network. He'll tell us what he saw from this Packers defense and what happened to the offense as well. We'll talk about all of that coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Are you going hunting up north? Don't want to miss your favorite shows on The Fan, like the Bart Winkler Show, Bill Michaels Show, Wendy's Big Show. Well, the answer is easy, really. Simply download the radio.com app and take The Fan with you right up there into that tree stand while you're sitting there. You put your headphones in or your earbuds in, and you still listen to the shows while you're being awfully quiet waiting for that deer to prance in front of your tree stand. Never been hunting in my life, but that's what they tell me.
What does the film say?
Ed said the most important thing is film study.
Who looked good and who didn't?
Why? Because you have to watch yourself repeatedly over and over and over again doing the same thing.
Let's ask Ben Fennell of the NFL Network. Brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. $1,000 up for grabs every single week at radio.com/picks.
All right, it is the Wendy's Big Show. Time to bring on our guy, Ben Fennell, now, who joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. So I guess
Ben don't never have a bad day. He always sounds chipper.
Yeah, he's always happy. Yeah, he's a happy nice guy. What's wrong with that? Nice he's happy guy. Like you all the time.
That's why I like Ben. I like it. I learn
hey, Leroy,
a lot every time
Leroy
he comes
I don't ride
on.
The wave. You know, I don't get too high. I don't get too low. I like to stay nice and even keel. And when everybody's down, I pull them up. When everybody's too high, I pull them down. You know, I like to stay nice and even keel, right in the middle there.
So, pretty much the exact opposite of me. Okay, so Ben,
exactly.
Pretty much the exact opposite. Exact opposite. I'm the last
but
thing,
Steve,
but even
real
keel.
Quick, yeah. Real quick, can you tell Ben about the smoke Aaron Rodgers been getting? Can you put that in context for him? I want to see what he.
Oh, I think he's well aware of it. In fact, he retweeted the Rob Reichel piece. Yeah. And talked about, you know, why they took Jordan Love, because if you read the piece by Rob Reichel of Forbes, he talks about the fact that just hasn't played well in big games the last couple of years, and they're getting blown out. He got ripped, obviously, for getting blown out in games by Cowherd, who then finds some random stat about trailing at any point in a game what his record is, and it's under 500. Even Tebow is over 500 in his career. I'm not sure how much you really put into that stat, to be quite honest with you. And that's pretty much been Aaron Rodgers' week to this point, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we don't have to evaluate Aaron Rodgers' ability on a week-to-week basis. Aaron Rodgers is the same person in week five as he was in week one, as he was in week one in 2019. His ability hasn't changed. Now, their ability to execute as an offense, as a team, as a defense, you still have to play the game. You know, you still have very good players on the other side. They have a couple millionaires, too, and they're pretty good as well. So, you know, the ebbs and flows on a game on a week-to-week basis, you can evaluate. But whether you want to crown Aaron Rodgers or replace Aaron Rodgers on a week-to-week basis, it's just an exhausting conversation. And it's just those hot-button, dramatic takes where you're either the best in the league or you're the worst in the league. Not every take has to be so dramatic and so, you know, polarizing with where you place them. You know, you can have a tempered opinion to say, you know what, Rodgers didn't play his best ball last week, but collectively, I still trust him. He still has the same ability. We just need to go out and execute next week.
Right. I would agree with you on that. And I guess as you watch the film, broke it down, look at it, and, you know, probably don't do as much as you're doing. Did Rodgers get away from what Rodgers was doing when they won four games in a row?
You know, I feel a little bit, but, you know, you have to give the Bucs some credit for, you know, stopping the run earlier in the game. But you have to think back and how the ebbs and flows of that game went. The Packers jumped out to a 10-0 lead, and the first quarter seemed great. They had a 10-play drive for a field goal and an 11-play drive for a touchdown. But the way they moved the ball was not a sustainable formula. Aaron Rodgers held on to the ball a little bit longer than he had been, made a couple really nice second reaction throws where he just escaped the pocket, even took off and ran and took a big hit down on the goal line. But that formula is not sustainable for four quarters. And that really isn't the formula that the Packers had been using through four weeks. Aaron Rodgers had been playing with timing and rhythm from the pocket, never leaving that tackle box, very rarely this year. And I love that philosophical change as he's getting older and a little bit slower and trusting the people around him. I love that he's not, you know, escaping and relying on improvisation. But those first two drives of the Bucs were a little bit reverting back to those old ways of holding the ball, waiting for coverage to break down. Next thing you know, interception. Next drive, interception. Three and out. The second quarter was a disaster, and the game seemed like it was out of reach by the time you went into halftime. So looking back on that first quarter, even though they put up points, even though they moved the ball, it wasn't the formula the Packers had been using through 4 weeks.
Well, let me ask you this. Sorry about Leroy. I just got one
no,
more
go ahead,
Leroy be next.
No, go ahead.
the game plan that you saw from Todd Bowles, was that a big difference? Because I think we talked a little bit about last week, you know, we know that Matt LaFleur has been very good at scheming guys open and coming up with great game plans. And I guess on top of that, you had Aaron Rodgers playing at the top of his game. Did Todd Bowles and his defensive staff and what they did, did they have a game plan for success against Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, you know, he's an attacking defensive coordinator. He's going to put pressure on opposing protections and really challenge running backs and pass pro like he did with those blitzing linebackers. But Tampa Bay is going to stop the run and try to put you in third and medium and long situations so we can blitz you and put the pressure on you. And I think that was the perfect formula for the Buccaneers to say, let's make this Packers team one-dimensional. And yeah, they did generate a couple explosive runs on them. I think they had 2 20-yard runs, one from Williams, one from A.J. Dillon later in the game. But, you know, they weren't able to establish the run consistently on early downs. They tried a couple of those perimeter action things, you know, the right receiver screens and some yards after catch opportunities that didn't work out either. So I thought the Bucs put together a great formula and really attacked the Packers when they got into some favorable down and distances, and the pass protection wouldn't hold up. And then just when Aaron Rodgers stopped trusting his protection, he started to see those ghosts and his eyes started dropping. And then that's the Rodgers of 3-4 years ago, where he's immediately looking at the rush, immediately looking to escape and not trusting those big guys in front of him.
Ben, who's going to be the next guy you think to step up on the defensive line? I saw my Trevia Adams do a couple good things, but I also saw, you know, Lancaster didn't play. But, and I also, my second question real quick is, can Chris Barnes sustain this until Kamal Martin or Kirksey until these guys come back? Because they can't afford another injury at inside linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, you hate to see that quarterback of the defense go out in any time, because I'm a huge believer of continuity and a consistent voice on the defense. And not having Kirksey these past two games, or past three games, it's just been an interesting kind of deployment of the defense. And against the Bucs, I mean, there's a couple plays where they're late getting guys in and out of the huddle. There's a 12 man on the defense down in the low red zone. And that weird 3rd-and-2 play where it looked like a coverage bust, I felt like they were late to get lined up. So a lot of that, I think, is an extension of the play calling in from the sideline and who's calling that play in the defensive huddle. And if it's a young, undrafted free agent like Chris Barnes, and then potentially, you know, having a new voice in sub packages, or maybe a new voice next week as well with a Kamal Martin, I just think that's a recipe for disaster on defense as far as communication and continuity. And I feel like last week in the game, you really started to see some of that, you know, those issues with getting lined up and the organization in and out of the huddle. So that's really concerning. But as far as who's going to step up, this Packers team needs its best players to step up. They need Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Kenny Clark, Jair, Adrian Amos to show up. They need their best players to play their best ball. And then if the young guys and the role players can contribute here and there, great. But by no means can you look at, you know, Montrevis Adams or Kingsley Kiki or Chris Barnes or even Darnell Savage and say, I need you to be an impact player on a drive-to-drive basis. I just think that's asking too much out of those young players. You need your best players to show up consistently. And so far through 2020, the best players for the Packers defense have not performed and lived up to what we expect.
You know, you brought up earlier in the week, talking with Ben Fennell at the NFL Network, that Pettine dialed up a season-high 13 blitzes and sprinkled in some new fronts with stunts and twists. But as you pointed out, if Brady gets the ball out, what is a rush supposed to do at this point? Was the idea of how to get after this offense maybe not the right idea by Pettine?
You know, it's tough, and it's a philosophical decision with Mike Pettine, but I feel like the anger towards Pettine is a little misguided. I feel like people are mad at Dom Capers, mad at Mike Pettine. They don't necessarily know what they're mad at. So the lack of pressure on Tom Brady, you have to go back and look at the tape and say, he dialed up blitzes. In fact, the most blitzes this year, he dialed up some creative twists and stunts. Tom Brady's a quarterback that does not leave the middle of the pocket. You know where Tom Brady's going to be. They don't move the pocket. They don't roll him out. They don't boot him out. They don't sprint him out. He doesn't move. He doesn't break the pocket. You want to blitz those quarterbacks because you know where they're going to be consistently. So I like the philosophy. But Tom Brady's a 45-year-old quarterback, one of the best minds in the league. No defense covers everything. And Tom Brady is going to find that vulnerability in the defense and get the ball out of his hands. We hit him twice on 30-something dropbacks. The only other time under Patton we didn't touch a quarterback that much was Jimmy G in the NFC Championship game. But he dropped back 9 times that game. So there were much less opportunities in that San Fran game as opposed to Sunday against Tom Brady. But I cannot fault Mike Pettine for attacking Tom Brady with the blitz because those are those statue quarterbacks you want to attack. But as Leroy knows, the pressure in the front have to be tied together with the coverage. And there just wasn't enough continuity with the front and the coverage tied together. That if you're pressuring, you're getting a free hitter, you're expecting that ball to come out, what do, Leroy? You tighten down on the outside because you know that ball's coming out in 2.5 seconds. And I just saw too much lack of continuity with the front and the coverage.
Well, let me, and you're talking about the rush. I saw an article somewhere where Todd Bowles had faced Rodgers before and didn't blitz him that much. And I guess his article said this is the most that Todd Bowles ever blitzed Aaron Rodgers. Is there something in Rodgers' game now where he's become maybe a little bit vulnerable to being blitzed now at this age or something?
You know, I think I saw a similar article. I think it was reflecting that Jets team. I don't know if it was last year or the final year under McCarthy, where
Yeah, I think it was.
Or maybe it was Arizona or whatever it was.
No, it was Jets, yes.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how to attack Aaron Rodgers right now because through the first 4 weeks of 2020, this is a guy playing within timing, rhythm of the offense, not breaking the pocket a whole lot. You know, I think he was getting the ball out of his hands regardless. So I don't know if necessarily you wanted to blitz him. So it was interesting style for Todd Bowles to say, you know what, let's go get this guy anyways. Even if he's playing in timing and rhythm and getting that ball out fast this year, let's attack the pocket. Let's put pressure on the protection. Let's see if we get his eyes to drop and really kind of trust that the Packers receivers on the outside aren't going to be able to uncover in man-to-man coverage and be able to get themselves open for Aaron Rodgers. So I think there's a couple different ways to attack this Packers offense. They obviously are very privileged to have Lavonte David, Devin White, Shaq Barrett, a bunch of quarterback killers and a lot of speed on that defense. It's pretty fun to have those guys to deploy. So their formula is stop the run and make them one-dimensional. And then, you know, Leroy, the whole defensive playbook is open. If you get them in the third and medium and third and longs, you could just start spinning the Rolodex and calling whatever pressures and coverages you want. So I thought they got in some favorable down and distances, and they took advantage.
Yeah, let me ask you this, too. I got one more, Roy, you don't mind. Oh, and then I'm not going to let him go. He's going ahead. And this is Gary Ellison, by the way. A lot of people get
You're not
going
to let him go. No, I'm not going to let him go.
Well, I'm not going to say, hey, I got what. This is the last question. We're going to let you go. But I'm not going to say that. So I'm going to let you get your question in. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
We were talking today. our question on the dock, and I know we don't talk to you a lot about stuff like this. What would you rather have? Would you rather have, let's say, like OBJ, Julio Jones, the Fuller kid over there at the Texans, AJ Green, Kenny Stills. Would you rather have one of those guys, Antonio Brown, one of those guys, or J.J. Watt for the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, that's a really good question.
What would be better for the Packers?
Coming from how the Packers season ended last year and looking at the two teams in the playoffs, or excuse me, in the Super Bowl, the 49ers and the Chiefs, boys, I'm ready just to light up the scoreboard. 30, 40 points, whatever it takes.
I said that earlier.
Track meet, you know, and if the defense wants to give up 25, 30 or whatever late in the fourth quarter, go for it. But the formula in the NFL right now, defenses are struggling everywhere in the league.
They are.
And offenses are lighting up scoreboards. And if you look at last year's formula, I mean, between the five of us listening right now, I don't know if we could say who played cornerback for the Chiefs and the 49ers last year in the Super Bowl.
Correct.
It really didn't even matter. You know, they had some pass rushers, and they lit up the scoreboards. And I want to see the Packers light up scoreboards and outscore teams more of that track style. So as much as I'd love to see a J.J. Watt caliber of player, you know, put into Mike Pettine's defense, I want to see more speed, more weapons, more threats around Aaron Rodgers.
And so which one of those receivers is what you want? Which one of those receivers would you want then? What fit?
I would probably lean towards Odell Beckham, considering his speed, his ability to win on every level of the defense. I love his ability to generate yards after catch, whether it's quick game or end-around stuff, and he can win down the field and double moves. I'm telling you, if you put the right weapons around Aaron Rodgers, I do not say this lightly, he can play until he's 44 or 45 years old. But you got to keep adding weapons and threatening bodies around him and let him just be that pocket-passing, distributing assassin that I know he can be.
You got one more, Garrett? That's it.
Yeah, I really do. I can talk to him all day. All right, so let me ask you this question.
Okay, this is the last one.
This is really true last one. Because I said this earlier, too. We were talking about this. And just from, because outside looking in, Ben, what's your perception on where do you think the Green Bay Packers are as an organization? Meaning that, are they, like, you know, would they do this goal? Steve, what's the deal that they that this
Matt Schneidman of The Athletic has some proposed trades, and he went with the Texans beat writer as well on this one involving the Texans. Packers acquired defensive end J.J. Watt and wide receiver Will Fuller from the Texans for a 2021 second-round pick, 2021 fourth-round pick, and 2021 sixth-round pick. Packers have multiple picks in the fourth and sixth, so that really would not hurt them at all.
Would you get down with something like that?
I mean, it's a fun exercise to say, you know what, I would love to exchange all this, you know, loose end and fat and trash around the Packers roster for some pieces that are going to contribute. That would be great, you know, to hit that magic button to say, player A, B, and C, you guys really aren't working out for us. Let's go get, you know, X, Y, and Z because they're better players. That sounds great and all, but obviously the Texans have the Packers tape as well. They know the ability of the Packers players, but as far as just taking a step back and saying, where is the state of this Packers team moving forward? I think they have a kind of a draft and develop issue right now. And until we start seeing more production out of some of these draft picks, you know, particularly ones that they've taken with, you know, rather high draft capital, whether it's, you know, Montrevious Adams, third round pick, or Kevin King, or, you know, Savage and Gary being first-round picks, and Jay Sternberger, and, you know, obviously the first three picks this
Hollenberg,
year with
Deguara, yeah.
Dillon, and Love. Just need to see more production out of the homegrown draft picks, and it feels like the most impactful players are guys they're picking up kind of off the streets, whether it's Adrian Amos or, you know, the Smith brothers, or, you know, I just feel like they're not getting enough production from the high draft capital players. Sure, we could point to an Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Jones, Bakhtiari, Devontae. There are homegrown players, but just not as consistently as I would like to see.
There he is. He joins us each and every Thursday. Ben Fennell from the NFL Network. Obviously, you can follow him on Twitter as well. Ben, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Take care. There he is, Ben Fennell on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
He's gonna come back.
Oh, I just hung up on him. Okay, call him back, Plucker. I'm sorry.
No, I don't need him back.
I needed to talk to him off the air, and I just totally hung up on him. Applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, well, breathe. And let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Grit started now at greatmidwestbank.com. As part of the big show brought to you by Toro Snowblowers for Grizzly Winters, you need a Toro PowerMax snowblower. It's a beast on snow. Act now. Get up to $100 off on select Toro PowerMax snowblowers. See your Toro retailer now. Win winter with a Toro. Coming up next, it's time for us all to feel sorry for Greg Jennings. Oh, poor Greg. That's next on The Big Show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.